We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, guys? Before we jump into the show, I want to tell you about some game-changing coffee. Strava Craft Coffee is the CBD-enriched Java that has really changed lives. The reviews are incredible, so make sure you check those out, because what you'll see is that the CBD-infused coffee has taken away long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS. It's helped decrease anxiety. Whatever you're dealing with, it's probably helped. CBD is an all-natural and non-psychoactive ingredient, and the coffee is rich and tasty. Check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use the code BSN2019 at checkout. And you'll get it shipped straight to your door.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the Coors from Mile High. The best part of the weekend, hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time.
Say it with me, Zach.
The Broncos, the Broncos are back,
baby. And it feels great. You know, sometimes I get like this pre-training camp anxiety of like, oh God, here it comes. You know, we're gonna dive in, and who knows what's gonna happen after that. I don't have that this year. It's more of a, all right, baby, let's go get this thing. Like, let's watch some football.
You know what? It always happens to me. And then on literally like minutes after being here on this Wednesday, like it is every year, I just think, what am I freaking out about? Mm-hmm. The Broncos are back, and we didn't even get football today. Ryan, we get football tomorrow and pretty much every other day until 2020.
Wow. That's kind of scary. We're almost to the year 2020.
Yeah.
I bet you like there's a bunch of predictions about stuff. Like there was like probably like movies in the 80s about like what life will be like in 2020.
Flying cars?
Yeah.
Also probably some bad things.
There's cars that could turn into boats. But not cars that could turn into planes yet. We're close. I bet you they can do it. They just, people are too dumb to let them have that.
That's what those conspiracy theories, what it's like, yeah, we have the technology to do all this stuff, but we don't trust anyone, and we just want to hold that back. It's interesting. But Ryan, before we jump in, I have two health questions to ask about you. First, what's going on with your hand?
I have no idea what's going on with my hand.
I'm concerned.
My life is falling apart. First, my driver broke. And now my hand, like, there's a thing growing on my hand.
It is. And what I've been with, I saw you 4 hours ago. That's when I started my day seeing you. And this thing, I could tell it was there. Now, sitting here at 3:10 p.m., it's growing swollen and turning colors.
So, I guess what the best thing I can describe it as is it feels like when you have, like, a pimple that isn't, like, a pimple yet. It's just under the skin and it's like sore.
It's like an ingrown pimple is how I would imagine. I don't even know if that's a thing.
I think that is a thing. But it's under the callus of the palm of my hand.
And it's just growing. It's fighting to get out. But the callus is like, no way.
So I looked up what it could be. It could just actually be a zit. Or it could be some sort of like glycemic cyst or something. And literally one of the treatments for that was, it's called Bible treatment. And no, you don't just pray it away. It literally said, take a Bible and just smash it on there.
Oh my gosh. Are we talking hardcover?
I think you got to go hardcover. Well, I don't, maybe the soft cover would be a little more forgiving.
I hope it's this one so that I can help you out.
We have like that record book in there. They just handed out the 2020,
yep.
2019 NFL record book.
Yep.
It's even a little thicker than the Bible. It's a football Bible. I'm not yet willing to go there. I would say we're sitting at about a pain of six right now. Just a solid six constantly.
That's terrible.
It really sucks.
So is it like a seven when you're like, I'm taking the Bible treatment?
I think it would be like a 50. to decide that I want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a... If it keeps progressing at this rate, I honestly think I'm just going to stab it and see what happens.
That's always a good path to take,
I
right?
know someone here is going to be like some sort of medical person. They're going to be like, make sure you sterilize whatever you're sticking into your body.
And you're just going to take a pen, an old pen or a paperclip that you find in your car and do it, right?
I'm going to take the first sharp knife I can find and just dig it into my skin to get rid of this pain.
And besides that, second question.
Something else is wrong with me?
I don't think it's wrong with you, but this is the time of year where I'm sure starting tomorrow, every player is going to tell us, this is the best I've ever felt entering a training camp. Do you maybe have something to say?
I would say this is the best I've ever felt entering training camp. Not the best I've ever felt in my life, but the best I've felt entering a training camp. So that would be the last 4 years.
And you're actually being honest with me, unlike probably most of those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any, yeah. You can't like be 34 telling me that you're feeling you're in the best shape of your life. You've never felt better.
Vaughn's going to tell us that in 4 years.
Yep. Probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, you look like it. You look great.
I really appreciate that. That was the goal.
Yep.
I just wanted Vic Fangio to be like, RK's coming into camp. He's in the best shape of his life. It's incredible.
Well, tomorrow, maybe he'll give you that compliment.
Maybe. He's going to be pretty skinny here soon if he keeps wearing sweaters.
What are we doing?
It's 94 degrees. This is the hottest media barbecue ever.
I went to the bathroom right after the media barbecue. What was it? We sat outside for an hour interviewing people, and we were outside for half an hour before just eating and socializing. And I looked at myself. I looked like I was going to die because of just how red I was. I was like...
From like overheating?
Yeah. I was like, I feel totally fine. But gosh, if I saw myself, I would think that I was going to die just walking back outside.
This is so un-Colorado. I went to the Rockies game last night, and I was sitting in the shade. Sweating.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? Doesn't happen here.
No.
Like, if you're in the shade, you're good.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I was sitting in the shade from innings 1 through 9. Solid sweat going the whole time.
And they have a day game today, right?
Oh, my God.
That sounds terrible.
Awful.
I had this one high school coach who, in the summer, during two-a-days, he would wear a sweatshirt with a hood, full sweatpants, and go out an hour before practice and throw a Frisbee across the field.
With, like, a friend or just to no one?
Run and chase it.
Oh, my God. He's a dog?
Just do it. He was his own dog. And he would do that. The sweatshirt would be a different color by the time practice started. Maybe Vic's picking up the Frisbee tomorrow, doing that before
practice.
Well,
no, because we'll be out there before practice recording the podcast. So John Embry, who covered the Buffs, used to always wear, who coached the Buffs, used to always wear long sleeves, pants during camp. And I was just like, one time I was just like, dude, what are you doing? And he's just like, I don't have to put on sunscreen.
Oh.
I hate sunscreen.
Wow.
And I was like, because he would also wear like a big old like bucket hat that protected his face.
I get the hat.
Yeah. So he's just like, I hate putting on sunscreen. If I just wear long sleeves, I don't have to wear sunscreen.
I'm not the biggest sunscreen fan. I use it for all the doctors out there.
I finally gave in like 2 summers ago. I'm like, I'm really getting tired of being sunburned. I should stop being so stubborn about putting lotion on my body.
You're like, if only there was an easy solution. Oh, okay.
And now I'm like intense about it.
Yeah.
Like when I was golfing in Mexico, I reapplied like every 3 holes.
Wow.
I'm like, I will not walk off this course sunburned.
Your mom is proud of you.
I know, right?
She loves you for
that's,
it.
That's how you know you're washed. Yeah. You start caring about putting on reapplying. Like the first, when you're like in your 20s, you start being like, all right, I got to put on sunscreen.
Yep.
When you reapply, it's over. You might as well put on some New Balances and go mow the lawn.
But gosh, I would way rather put on sunscreen than be miserably hot.
Totally.
Ugh.
Totally. All right, real quick, before we dive in to what we learned today at a couple, four press conferences, we have a really awesome sale for you guys. This is the best deal we've run since we went to the free t-shirt format with all subscriptions, but I have no idea how long it's going to last. It's our training camp sale. Get on it as fast as you can, especially since training camp starts tomorrow. You don't want to miss any of training camp if you're going to get on the training camp scale. So the code is BroncosCamp, BroncosCamp, all one word, all caps. What you'll get is our annual package for $34.99, and that's a $10 discount off our current annual package. And then that's going to cost you $2.91 a month if you parcel it out, which is almost a full 50% off what we charge for the monthly rate right now. So you're getting a sick deal there. But it's not just a discount. You're not just going to get the $10 off. You're still going to get a free premium t-shirt, which itself, Zach, is a $27 value. So you're getting the t-shirt, and then you're basically paying $7 for a year of not just Broncos coverage, but the best Denver sports coverage there is.
Not going to lie, I'm a little offended. If you're only going to pay $7... for everything I do.
Yeah, I feel like you should be getting paid $7 an article.
$7 for right now in this podcast.
That sentence was worth $7 to me.
And you get a t-shirt, and you get us for a year.
You being back, sending me the rundown, I'll pay you $7 for that.
And you know what? I'll send it to anyone if they're going to send me $7.
You want the rundown? $7. This is Venmo Zach, $7. He'll give you the rundown.
I'll even do it before the show.
Wow. Yep. Pre-show rundown. Yep. That's impressive. Technically, you can send it to him any time before I post it, and it's before the show for them.
Exactly.
So we've got multiple Phil Lindsay shirts. We've got the Vic Fangio Godfather shirt, the Von Miller Goat shirt, or any of the other teams. We have a ton of awesome Rockies ones, a couple good Nuggets ones. Avs fans know that we have great Avs shirts, so you're going to get that for free. But that's not all.
No.
What you're going to get is the right to put comments on this podcast, which I know if you listen to this podcast, you're going to have something you want to ask us during training camp. You'll get all of our exclusive content, which is going to be just a waterfall of it. And if you're sitting there thinking like, well, I'm not much of a reader, we solved that too, because literally Zach and I will read our stories to you like a bedtime story. You cozy up, get your body pillow, or maybe you have a human who cuddles with you in bed,
or cat.
Get your BSN Denver app out, go to the audio player, press play. We'll literally read you everything we wrote that day.
And you know what? It's going to be multiple articles, so the next one will just start right after.
It's so beautiful. And you just get to hear our voices. You think the podcast is over? Oh, no. I'm going to miss Ryan and Zach till tomorrow. Nope. There's articles with audio stories attached to them. So if you want, you can go into the story itself. You can click the audio player and play it. You don't even have to read. Or you can go onto the audio stories page on the BSN in the BSN Broncos area on bsndenver.com or on the BSN Denver app, and you can hear all of our stories read to you. That'd be cool if it was all. But you also get film reviews, game grades.
Holy cow.
Every day we're going to do multiple breakdown pieces from practice. It's endless. The list goes on. If you haven't subscribed yet, and as I always say, I know I can see the difference between how many people listen to this podcast, how many people have subscribed under these promo codes.
This is what we call a call out.
You're being called out. It's time to join up. It's time to join on. You'll never regret it. It's $34 for the whole year and a t-shirt and everything we do.
You won't regret the 34.
If you're not willing to do that, do you really love us?
No. Show us the love. Show us the money.
Show us the love. And we're really excited about all the stuff that we're going to be able to bring to you during camp. So let's start here on the podcast in the order in which we spoke to these people. And the first one we talked to today was John Elway.
And let's start with the very first thing he talked about, and that is Drew Locke wanting to be shown the money. And John Elway was very, straightforward about this. He said, we'll see if Drew Lock is back on the field with the team tomorrow. He did not report today. Of course, everyone had to report today. He was a no-show, the only no-show.
Breaking news.
Oh, did it get done?
Drew Lock is signed.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that in the first segment. So we didn't spend any time talking about it when we didn't need to.
Beautiful. Now no issues.
Let me see if I can find details for us so we don't waste any more time with that. All that's come out yet is from Pro Football Talk. Drew Lock agrees to terms with the Broncos per source.
There we go.
So.
There we go.
That's settled.
There we go. I like that because you know what? This was just going to be a very unnecessary distraction.
Pretty glad we don't have to talk about it. And it's kind of an unnecessary topic on the podcast.
Should we move on?
Well, let's just really quick. I'm glad this got done. From sources I spoke to, this was kind of a, how do I say this in a political correct fashion? I'm not going to. It was a, actually I got it. It was a unit measuring contest, if you know what I'm talking about. Between the Broncos side and Drew Lock's representation, which is CAA. I guess it's not the best relationship there between the agency and the Broncos. And so basically they were just saying, like, let's play hardball here. Let's play hardball on a rookie contract. I'm sure Drew Lock was, I don't know how much he loved it. It's not exactly how I'd want to start a relationship with a team, but it's all done. It's over with. Drew Lock, I said this to you earlier. I said any second that Drew Lock misses on the field is not worth any amount of thousands of dollars. I think I said it to you is you're betting millions with the hope of winning thousands.
That's exactly it. And John Elway earlier today told Mike Kliss after we talked to John, he said, that will get resolved. It's part of the day and age of how this business works. I anticipate that getting done relatively soon because every day he misses, it's going to set him back. Hopefully he realizes that and takes control and he'll be here.
And that's what Dalton Risner did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Dalton stepped up and said, no, I want to be with my teammates. I don't want to miss any time.
And it'll be framed that Drew Lock said the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So glad that's over. Glad that's gone. It should have gotten dealt with before it ever became public, honestly. But it didn't. No one's missing anything. Drew Lock might have missed like a weigh-in or something today. I think everything will be fine.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be getting fined for this.
I don't either.
And heck, he may be able to make the team meeting, which is tonight with Vic Fangio, if I imagine Drew is in town or at least close to town.
Hey, if he's really feeling good, he might be able to make it on this podcast. By the time
we got a few open chairs.
There is an open chair sitting right here in this beautifully air-conditioned room. 69.7 degrees in here
right now. Wow. That is way nicer than outside.
Oh, my God. Outside is terrible. You know, it's supposed to be 99 degrees tomorrow, Zach.
Welcome to training camp.
You'd think that would be the hottest day of training camp, right?
Certainly would.
Friday's supposed to be 100.
Oh, wow. Triple digits.
But since we're big shots, we have our own little tent for the podcast.
Big time.
Yep. I've been told, I can't confirm this, there might be one of those margarita makers that's gas-powered. Ooh. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, yeah.
There's a little thing you can rev it. There might be one of those in our tent.
Let's confirm that right away.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. We should get in on that. I've been told there's going to be an icy machine. That's one of the ones that's just constantly spinning, keeping it.
We have some brats that are turning all
day. What's your favorite flavor of icy?
You got to go blue raspberry. Oh, absolutely.
No. You definitely go Coca-Cola every time.
No, I can get one of those. I can get a blue raspberry soda.
It's because that sounds terrible. Gotta go with the Coca-Cola. Maybe if you're feeling dangerous, splash a cherry in there so it's like cherry Coke.
Just the splash of cherry in the blue raspberry.
Your mouth is blue now. so there's going to be that. Obviously, a cooler full of ice-cold Breckenridge beer. It's going to, we'll make it through the 100-degree days with our amenities that I've been promised. I negotiated them in my latest contract. From John, what else did you hear that you liked? I felt like he was humble. He was honest. He was confident, yet realistic.
Yeah, and I completely agree. He said, when asked about expectations, he said, you know, we feel great about this team. We've had an excellent off season, but this is a time where expectations or hopes are always high, and it's a different tone. It really, really is, and I think that's good because if you're, we've talked about it many, many times throughout the years, if you're always in this win now mindset, then that's going to hurt you, and it hurt the Broncos. So I like that he's taken a step back, has high hopes, which is great. A lot of things look promising. And I think maybe at the end of preseason, if he doesn't see things going in the playoff way, maybe we'll be able to tell that from the way he talks. So I really like his mindset right now.
You know what? I think I thought he sounded confident. He mentioned that we have our goals, and it's very un-John Elway-like to not share. He likes to share, usually. but he said, you know, he was asked, what's the realistic expectation for this team? And he said, I'll let you guys figure that out, but we know what our goals are, and we have those.
Right.
What are those? Because to me, there's no chance in hell that a John Elway-led team has goals that aren't the playoffs.
Absolutely. That's exactly what the goals are. And he, I think it's smart, the approach he's taking, Ryan, is kind of taking a back seat and really letting Vic kind of be the main guy today. Even though John did talk for nearly 15 minutes, which in this industry is huge, he didn't say that much. And Ryan, I said it right after we talked to John. I said to you, I said, well, that was not very headline-filled, everything we learned. And that's so different.
Yeah, usually John will say something where like, oh, got to get that up right away.
Exactly.
Some injury stuff. Phillip Lindsay fully cleared, will be eased in.
Yep. Emmanuel Sanders will not go on PUP, neither will Jake Butt.
When he said Emmanuel Sanders will not, I thought he was going to say, will not practice during training camp or something along those lines. I was about to be like, oh, Lord. But no, will not go on the PUP. So he said he's going to be practicing right away.
Yep.
The degree of which will be determined. But even if he's in individual drills the first day and not just stuck on the sideline doing, you know, whatever they do over there, that's a huge positive to me. To me, that's the biggest storyline of camp. How soon can you get these guys back? How soon can you get them involved? If they play in the what used to be the third preseason game, this year it's the fourth preseason game, I'm good.
Yeah, I completely agree. And John, I think it was John who talked about Emmanuel saying, we always knew he would be here, but if not, we had confidence in Courtland Sutton. We had confidence in these young guys. And that was also kind of another feeling today. We know that this is a young group, but the Broncos are really, really counting on pretty much every young guy outside of Drew Lock, from the running backs to the tight ends. John mentioned Heuerman in a way where it's like, yep, he's kind of the guy going into camp, but then the rest is all young guys. All of the second-year players, John expects them to take a huge jump because they had a big season last year.
They need it. I mean, I hate putting expectations of always improving. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Not everyone just always improves. Like, Von Miller, maybe, Vic, and we'll talk about Von Miller in a second, like, you can't just expect him to get better every year. After his sophomore year, when he had 18 and a half sacks, I guarantee you there are people on, you know, radios and podcasts, if those existed yet, and they were saying, can you imagine when Von takes the next step?
Yep.
That's 25 sacks, you know, like,
yeah.
And eventually there is a cap. But there's no one last year reached their cap. Phillip Lindsay might have got the closest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I hate just being like, oh, well, everyone's going to take a step forward and the offense will be great.
Right.
Well, sometimes guys just show who they are. What if Courtland Sutton is just that guy? What if he's a deep threat who can win jump balls and right. drops a lot of passes and isn't a crisp route runner? If that's the case, then this offense is in trouble.
Isn't that realistic to expect that from some of these guys, that they're close to their cap, or maybe not that, but just to not be able to expect a huge jump in the second year.
It is, but you never know who it is, and you're not like you're always going to look at the positives with young guys. And you did this in your predictions for the sophomore class, and Henry and I on the podcast were kind of like, this might be a little too optimistic when you look at it all put together.
Right.
But each guy, you kind of go through and you're like, well, he could do that, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, you never know who is going to be. Maybe Phillip Lindsay only has 800 rushing yards.
Right.
Maybe Courtin Sutton, like I said, maybe Deshaun Hamilton, just isn't, you know, fast enough to get separated, you know, whatever it is. You never know who it's going to be, so you always go in. You know, Royce Freeman's a good example. Maybe he isn't a every-down NFL running back and that sort of thing. But as it stands right now, you expect most of them to take a step forward. And I think if most of them take a step forward, everything's going to be all right.
Exactly. It's the group in general, or else, Ryan, we're going to be in trouble. Everyone's going to be in trouble. But today was, just like John said, today was a day of optimism. A few other things that Elway said. He said, I think Mike Munchak will help Garrett Bowles tremendously. I mean, that's another guy. Boy, if he takes a step, then whew, that's huge for the offensive line. Then what's your confidence level? If you know Garrett Bowles is taking that next step, we said the confidence level right now in the offensive line is a 6 out of 10. What are you going to, an 8 out of 10? If Garrett Bowles turns into the guy, that would be huge.
I mean, put some money down on the Super Bowl. Garrett Bowles is going to be the guy. That wasn't the most interesting thing I thought John always said about Mike Munchak. Zach, you've heard of defensive coordinator. It's just his defense. When Wade Phillips was here, Gary Kubiak used to joke, if I go into his meeting room, he'll kick me out. you've heard of the offensive coordinator being totally in charge of the offense.
Yep.
In fact, that's kind of what we have here with Rich Scangarello right now. Maybe not quite that much, but close. Have you ever heard of the offensive line coach just having full control over the offensive line?
No, and when you ask John Elway about his offensive line, he's the man in control, and he says, whatever Mike Munchak wants to do. It's incredible.
I've never heard that about a position coach in my life.
Especially from John.
Because you asked, John, is Dalton going to stay at left guard for all of camp, or are you guys going to mix him in some other places? Because back in rookie minicamp, Vic Fangio told us he's going to move around. So you were kind of looking for some confirmation there. And he said, well, I think he's going to spend most of his time at left guard. Maybe he moves around. But that'll be up to Mike. And I'm like, don't you mean Vic? Or Rich? Nope. Mike. Everything's up to Mike when it comes to the offensive line.
As it should be,
so
right?
So he's the offensive line coordinator. That's what I'm calling him yep. from now on.
As he should be, right? Why make things difficult? Why would Vic Fangio step in the way of what he knows Mike is going to do? And why would John step in the way of that? Just if it makes sense, Ryan, do it. And that's kind of really the feeling that we're getting from Vic Fangio this offseason today. We talked about it before the show. Vic is just doing things that make sense.
Everything he does is with a purpose, and it gives me like this insane sense of belief and confidence in Vic Fangio that, you know, this might be I guess easier to believe when you say it out loud, but over 30 years of coaching in the NFL, he's thought of everything. And, you know, Gary Kubiak always had his notebook, his Texas A&M notebook that he carried everywhere. And it's like, I wonder if Vic Fangio just had a notebook that was like, when we become a head coach.
Right.
And every time he thought of something, he was like, ooh, we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Why are they using practice jerseys? They're too loose. Give me game jerseys in practice. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's just writing all this stuff down, and now that he's here, he, like, pulled out the notebook off the shelf, and it's, like, dusty, and he wipes it off, and he's like, let's go. And he, like, has Patrick Smythe in there, and he's like, okay, item number one, we need game jerseys for practice. Item number two, we're going to do afternoon practices after off days. And Patrick Smythe is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You, you got to be careful because it rains here every afternoon. Right here, we have a siren for lightning. It goes off every afternoon. And Vic Fangio says that's okay because when guys come off days, they're always lethargic. And so when they come in for an off day, I don't want to send them straight out to a practice because I know it's not going to be a good practice if I do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring them in the building. We're going to watch some film of the last practice. We're going to kind of get them back on the same page where they were when they left for their off day.
Yep.
And then we'll go out and practice. And when he said that, I'm just like, oh my God, he's thought of everything.
Yep.
And we had said, guarantee there's a reason why Vic Fangio's doing this. It's not just because he wants to sleep in. And of course there was. He had a reason. It makes 1,000% sense to me. Obviously, this is a much exaggerated timetable. But you remember like going back to the first day of math class after summer break? And you're just like, oh my God, I forgot everything.
Yep.
Maybe even a weekend. Like you get to your first class on Monday and you're just like, it's going to take me. Or even work. You go to work on Monday morning. You're like probably scrolling Twitter a little bit. You're going to drink a coffee, maybe have a conversation around the coffee pot. It takes a while to ease in. And so Vic Fangio knows that, and he knows, I don't want them to ease in on the football field. I don't want the transition period on the football field. Let's get them in the classroom. They can ease in. They can drink their coffee, do whatever they want to do, and go into the locker room, get dressed, you know, shoot the stuff with their teammates, and then we'll go practice. And by that time, they better be mentally ready.
Exactly. Ryan, it makes sense. It makes sense that you would do that. Because why would you do something just to do it? You know, we had an off day, so we have to have practice. And we're just going to do it the same that we've always done it, even though we're wasting our time because we're getting 50% out of this practice instead of 100%. Why would you not change the schedule around so that you can get 90% out of a practice, 95% out of a practice? This is a guy who is so comfortable in his own skin. And it is so clear about that. And that's good because you don't want a coach that is just going to be pushed around, not pushed around by other people, but pushed around by his own mind, saying, what would other people do? How should I do this? How does John Elway want me to do this? And I'm not just saying that was all Vance Joseph, but it's really refreshing, especially with a guy as powerful as John Elway, to have someone else come in here and say, I'm going to do it my way. You know, if John wants to step in, he's the boss, so he can do that. But I'm not going to go to his office every single day and ask him, can I do this? Can I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? He's so comfortable in his own skin.
He's so comfortable in his own skin that he can wear a crew neck sweatshirt when it's 94 degrees out and still be comfortable.
That's crazy.
He's the most comfortable. Unless that thing has an air conditioning unit built into it.
That'd be smart.
I remember I went to like an entrepreneur's kind of luncheon type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys I met said he was trying to create air-conditioned clothing. And I was like, that's a good idea.
The first round of those would be unbelievably goofy. You know, you'd have it like in your boxers
like
or something.
A big battery pack over your chest.
You look like Iron Man.
Yeah. It's glowing. But if that guy's listening to this podcast, let me know if you have it because we're going to need it over the next couple of days. We'll be like a pilot run for you. Anything else from John or Vic that really caught your attention? You wrote a story about Vic kind of laying out his identity, so don't go into that. If you want that, you got to subscribe. Use promo code BroncosCamp.
Mm.
I thought that was really interesting, though, because Vance Joseph never knew how to answer that question.
Yep. And again, just very comfortable in his own skin, knows what he's here to do. Something that is interesting. What is this? Tripling down, quadrupling down, five timesing down? I don't even know what that
was. That was my number one takeaway before this, and I almost forgot it. So good.
Von Miller. Vic Fangio is just pushing Von Miller like no other. And it's not like he's going to do this with every single player, because he was asked about Chris Harris, you know, can Chris Harris get better? As Chris is kind of sitting in the corner there. And yes, of course, Vic said Chris can get better. But Chris
didn't really, though. Like
exactly.
He, He wanted the end answer to be yes, but nothing he said was convincing.
He goes out of his way to say that Von Miller can be better. Von Miller can do more. We can get more from Von Miller. And what was really interesting and what was new today in this conversation was he said just a little bit more from Von Miller is going to turn out to be a lot more.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, if, you know, you're a 99 and you get 10% better, that's a lot more than if you're an 80 and you get 10% better.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's kind of what he's thinking there. But he also says something in terms of semantics that was really important. He said, I think, and this isn't an exact quote, but he said something along the lines of, I think we can help Vaughn get better. And then he's like, scratch that. Vaughn can help, can get better. Vaughn can get himself better with our guidance. So I was talking to Brandon Spano, who was here with us at the barbecue, and he read that as Vic essentially saying, like, I don't want to take credit for players. Like, I'm not going to take all the credit for players getting better. Mm. I read it differently.
Okay.
I read it as Vaughn has to want this for it to happen.
That's how I read it, too. This is on Vaughn's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, Vaughn? And Vaughn is sitting in the corner while Vic is saying this. The very first time Vic said it, Vaughn was in the crowd. The crowd of media, he was right there. It's not like Vic is tiptoeing around. He's doing radio interviews on the phone in a back room, not with Vaughn there. So you know what this tells me? He's saying this to his face. And do you remember last year? What was it, the San Francisco game? When Vaughn jumps offsides too many times, Vance comes out the next week, says it's unacceptable. Maybe they talked in a back room. But you know what? I'm not 100% confident that it was taking place, that the conversation between VJ and Vaughn was happening in back rooms.
I could tell you it didn't. And that was the biggest problem with it.
Exactly.
From a lot of, not just Vaughn, but a lot of people didn't like that.
Right. If you can't confront your worst player, an average player, your best player, if you can't confront everyone on your team that when it needs to be done, then you're toast. You are hosed. And I don't really care how good your team is. Something is going to fall apart eventually. The fact that Vic is doing this is more than just challenging Vaughn. To me, it shows that this team has been without a leader for quite some time, since Peyton Manning left. Vic is saying, look, I'm here. I'm your leader.
And I love that. And I think Gary Kubiak maybe could have been that guy that one year. And that's why they went 9-7. Like, they were, looking back, we thought them missing the playoffs was like a bad thing. 9-7 sounds fantastic compared to these last 2 years.
Right.
And I think that's what, you know, leadership can do for a team. Vaughn, when asked about it, as we kind of transition into the two players we spoke to today, I thought he had a good answer. He essentially said, yeah, I can give more. I've never led the league at sacks. I've never been defensive player of the year, which means I can do better. I can give more. And whatever coach tells me, I'll do it.
To be honest, I thought it was a lot of money. A lot of money to give Von Miller. I think everyone thought that when they signed him to that deal. Kind of thought it was too much, but they had to do it. You can't let him walk. But I said the expectations are he needs to be in the conversation, finish in the top three, top five, however they compile those, and defensive MVP every single year. And honestly, with that contract, he had to win defensive MVP, I don't know, every other year for that contract to be worth it, and he hasn't done it. So Vic is 100% right saying that the expectations are higher for Vaughn, and Vaughn's right. It's crazy he's never led the league in sacks.
If you had a... It is. I mean, even with those 18 and a half, who had more than him that year?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you are, I'm giving you $100.
Ooh.
And you get to lay it down on any Bronco to win defensive player of the year this year. And you do have to take into account the odds that would pay back on this. Who are you taking?
Von Miller.
Okay.
Easy, right. Even though I know he has the worst odds.
Von Miller's getting like 4-1 or something, maybe like 6 to 8 to 1.
Yeah. Who else would you go with? Bradley Chubb? That he probably. Yeah, I'm going 80% Vaughn, 20% Chubb. I mean,
sprinkling a little 20 on Chubb's.
I'll sprinkle a little
25
bit.
to 1 or something.
But then I'm not going anyone else. No, I love Chris. Chris is amazing. Come on. He could have 25 interceptions and he's not winning.
Well, no, he wouldn't even get targeted 25 times.
Yeah.
If he got like 2 interceptions in the first 3 weeks, they'd never throw at him again.
He'd be shut down. Yeah. Shut down. And then, of course, Pro Bowl voting would come around and everyone would be saying, who's this Chris Harris Jr. guy nationally?
Right. Oh, this guy's busting on the scene.
Is this guy a rookie?
Yeah, we're like, this guy's been at an all-pro level for his entire career. Same length as Von Miller. I would go with Chubb. But only because I want that extra juice. I realize Von is more likely, but I just think the floodgates are going to open for Bradley Chubb this year. In a scary, scary way.
And you know who else thinks that?
Vic Fangio.
And everyone in this building. There is so, so much confidence. And that's what's the craziest part about all the confidence in Bradley Chubb. Is all of the, I don't want to say skepticism, but all of the pushing that's going on to Von Miller, it's like non-existent for Bradley Chubb. They're saying, yep, we know this dude is great. We know this dude is going to take the big step into his second year. And we know that we don't have to push him. They haven't said that directly because, of course, they're never going to say that. But I think it was Ed Donatell really said that this guy's got the mental makeup. He's got the work ethic. That's simply not being said about Vaughn. Now, Vaughn, I personally would never question his work ethic because he's not a guy where you question his work ethic. But, you know, when they're saying these things about Chubb and they're pushing Vaughn, it tells you something.
I think part of it is they know that every player is coached differently. And so maybe the light of fire under Bradley Chubb isn't effective, in their opinion. Maybe Bradley Chubb needs to be built up a little bit more. But I had a conversation with the Broncos source over the break. We talked about a lot. And the name Bradley Chubb, I mean, the look on this person's face when I just simply said his name was like, I don't know, like they're talking about someone they're in love. Like when you just fell in love with a girl, that's really what it was like. Like when you have that smile that no matter what you're doing, you can't stop smiling.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh my God, like how good do they think he's going to be?
Yep.
So obviously the two are going to play off each other. If Bradley Chubb goes and has 4 sacks in the first 2 games, well, that's going to open it up for Vaughn.
Right.
Vaughn goes and balls out. It's going to open. I mean, eventually, teams aren't going to know what to do.
So, if Von Miller and Chris Harris are Shaq and Kobe, what's Vaughn and Chubb?
Man,
you got to be 2 big guys.
I think it's, yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis?
Wasn't successful enough.
Hey, they get another shot.
It's Jokic and Chanchar. Jokic and MPJ.
Jokic and Bol Bol?
Yeah, still not good enough. I don't know. It's like Kevin Durant with a good big man.
Jokic?
Sure, I mean it's not a real combination there. Who's the best? I mean, you got like Wade and LeBron. That was a sick duo.
It was.
What's like the best? Stockton and Malone.
Mm.
But you still have to, it's always the small guy and the big guy.
Right. So who's the small and the big in this scenario?
I guess Vaughn would have to be the smaller guy.
He'd have to be.
Vaughn said he was Kobe, though, in the Shaq and Kobe with him and Chris Harris Jr. He's also the Dirk Nowitzki in him and Derek Wolfe being Nowitzki and Steve Nash. He thinks Derek Wolfe is Steve Nash because he's the assist man. He's the one who opens things up.
How does Derek Wolfe feel about being called Steve Nash?
How does he feel about being called a short, white, Canadian guy with like long stringy hair.
Yeah, just looking at a picture of Derek Wolfe showing up for training camp today. Not quite sure he would like that.
I think he can take a little. I don't think he cares. It's pretty careless when it comes to stuff like that. But these two, I mean, if Chubb is anything like they think he's going to be, because I think their expectations are like higher than ours.
Yeah.
Which rarely happens.
Yeah.
If Chubb is that guy, then it's game over.
It's playoffs.
Yep. Yep. Unless Flacco just blows it. And I really don't think that's happening.
And I think if Chubb is that guy, it's because the offense is at least good enough. I'm not saying Flacco's MVP, like you're ready to claim he's MVP after tomorrow's practice. But he...
Comeback player of the year.
It'll be okay. Good enough.
He's comeback player of the year. I'm crowning him right now.
Riding the same stats he's had for the past 5 years.
Yeah, 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 3,700 yards. Comeback player of the year. No, I think he's going to have the most yards of his career this year.
What's that? What's the base?
He's never broke 4,000. Think.
That's kind of wild.
Pretty sure.
That is wild.
I'm not going to look it up. If I do, it's going to like freeze my computer. I'm just going to trust my gut on this one.
I trust it.
He should be able to get it. I think he should be able to get it. And when he does, we're going to crack a Breckenridge brew in his honor. I loved this yesterday. Someone tweeted at me. Gosh, I'm sorry for not remembering who it was. But they said, actually, I can find that. They said, I found out that I can get some official BSN beer up here in Maine. Mm. Like, I know what I'm having as my cold snacks this weekend.
Mm, I love that. And
this was from Kyle Mahar.
Kyle, I love that, Kyle, because this is just shows you another way that we can be connected all around the world.
That's, wow, that's deep.
Yeah. It is. You get to hear us. You get to drink with us.
My aunt used to say, I don't remember why this started, but she said, every time you see a rainbow, think of me.
Mm, that's pretty cool.
Every time you crack a Breckenridge beer and you hear that little bit of air escape from under the cap, think of us.
Think of us. And you know what, Ryan? I was thinking of us last night as I followed through on my promise, tried the strawberry sky. It was just, it was better. You didn't hype it up enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And
the color. Mm.
Our new friend who is a new listener hit me up yesterday. Because remember yesterday I was talking about how it's great for when great to drink while you're fishing for humpback chubs.
Yeah.
Well, our friend Mile High Memories wanted me to note that humpback chubs are a protected species, and you shouldn't be fishing for them.
Maybe when you're just viewing humpback chubs humpback through the water.
My question for him, and I don't know if he had a clear answer, is what if I'm just fishing in Grand Junction and I happen to accidentally catch a humpback chub? Is it just like, is the rule just catch and release? Mm. Because that's all I ever do when I go fishing.
It's got to be, right?
I think so. You got to leave it. You got to give it to the next guy. Someone else has to catch that fish.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't. I wouldn't be able to like rip that booger out.
You're not going to fillet it yourself?
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
Take the scales off.
Eat it with the head on.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
That was a big thing in Greece. Serve the fish with the head.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Do you like look? Do you make eye contact the whole time you're eating it, or what?
It's a sign of respect. It's like blessing the food.
Is it so that you can talk to it, tell it how good it is?
You just say like, hey, man. Thanks for your sacrifice.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, I hope everything is okay with the family.
Everything's not okay with the family.
No, they'll be all right. They'll make it. They're going to make it. Anyways, it is. You don't even have, like, he didn't even call it Breck beer. He just called it official BSN beer, and that's what I loved. But Breckenridge beer is the official beer of BSN Denver, and we want you to think of us every time you crack open an ice cold Breckenridge beer. And if you ever drink one that is not a Breckenridge beer, don't ever talk to us again. No, I'm just kidding. But you should try out the Strawberry Sky. It's so good. I had it on tap. I mean, whenever it's on tap, it's a little more smooth, you know, any beer. Except for Coors Light. Coors Light's terrible on tap. Never drink that on tap. It was even more, just had another layer of smoothness. And I was, I mean, it's perfect summer beer. I've been saying it for a while now. And I'm going to stand by that. This is going to be one that stays around forever. Like, this is a staple. You know how, like, everyone wants to release a summer beer every year, and then they release another one the next year. And then they really, Strawberry Sky, it's, like, here to stay.
It's here for the long run.
It's here to stay. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to a few of your questions.
Green Mountain Dental has a long-standing tradition of being one of Lakewood's best family dental care offices.
I have been a patient since I was 3, which is in 1974. You know, my parents, myself, and now my children all go there. It's just a great place to be, very positive experience with them, definitely.
New patients can receive free teeth whitening trays when they schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Also, all colored sport mouth guards start at just $25.
The doctors will come out and visit with you, ask you how your family's doing. You know, just very friendly and family oriented. It's just very comfortable to be there.
That's greenmountaindentalgroup.com.
If that was a preview of what happens when you give us something real to talk about, you guys are in for some long podcasts. I can't remember if that's a record or not.
I think so. I think that's a record.
How did it get so long? The time flew by.
It did. It was a good first segment.
50 minutes.
So now we have to get these 10 questions in 9 minutes.
Really quick, though. You've never listened to a radio station in your life where you heard 50 minutes straight of content.
Absolutely.
Except for when they do the, like, no commercial weekend or whatever.
Exactly.
But that's on, like, Cozy 101.
Yep. Yep.
You've never heard sports talk for 50 minutes straight on the radio.
No. You can't find it. You can't find it anywhere.
It's not possible to find that.
No. And we get to find out all about your body.
You get body talk to go along with it. All right. Let's get to the questions. The first one comes in from Sausage Sanga Harry. He says, Drew Locke's agent sounds like a real bag. His argument would be he's doing what's best for his client. But wouldn't Drew's best interest being in the best position to succeed, getting as much work as possible and not a few extra $1,000 in a signing bonus? If he truly believes in his client's ability, Drew would have plenty of time to make more money in his new contract once the rookie one expires. Or am I totally off base and it's all about guaranteed money, which then I can sort of understand?
Yeah, this was a small thing. I just got word that Drew Locke got the same workout bonus that Dalton Reisner got, which is in 2021, a $75,000 workout bonus, and in 2022, a $100,000 workout bonus. And Ryan,
no one gave me a $100,000 bonus for working out this offseason.
You deserve it, too.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You won an award.
Actually did get, like, what was it? I think I got $150,000?
No, $250. Ooh, that's not bad.
Yeah, or maybe it was $150. I can't remember.
You should have held out until it was more.
Yeah, I feel like that would have just cost me $250.
Or the word holdout has got under a lot of people's skin. I guess we should be saying no show.
Why?
I don't know. Some people in the media have been upset that some people have been calling Drew Locke's thing a holdout because technically he didn't have a contract.
Oh.
So it's not a holdout if you don't have a cut. Anyways,
people
silly.
Gotta stop.
You guys understood.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, you talked about it earlier in the first and really detailed it before the show. Why would you put your client through this if you're truly in the best interest of him? This is, it was petty, but really.
It's a measuring contest.
Yeah, it hurts. It would have hurt him more overall missing, what, one practice, two practices, three practices? Than getting a couple hundred, than getting like tens of thousands of dollars.
It might sound silly, but missing one practice would have set him back for the entire training camp.
Yeah. And that's what John Elway said today.
It's true. You can't afford to miss stuff like that. It's one thing if you're hurt and you're out there taking mental reps and still understanding, but, you know, it's like you show up day two and they're like, we're on chapter 4 of the book. You got to catch up. And it's like, you read chapter 4, but you don't even understand what's happening because you didn't get chapters 1, 2, and 3.
Right. It's a book that you have to be present to read.
Exactly.
And you missed it, buddy.
Yeah, so it's good. It's not happening. There was more at play here than what was in the best interest of all parties. I think the people playing this game probably always knew that they weren't going to let Drew miss a practice.
Right.
But in the end, nothing changed. They just converted some salary into bonus.
Exactly. Next one coming in from GJ Humpback Chubbs 55. Boy, I know what it is now, but that is still a mouthful.
It is a mouthful
to pronounce.
I feel like we should. I mean, I get what he's doing here.
Yeah.
He's mixing in the Humpback Chubbs.
Right.
With Bradley Chubb.
Why not just Humpback Chubbs? I think we know who that'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just Humpback Chubb.
Yeah, I like that.
Two Bs. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Zach, I'm glad Ryan enlightened you on the Humpback Chubb matter. It's funny because it has gotten to the point that the Twitter page has started to block anyone who even mentions the name.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that part. That was another reason why they were on Deadspin.
Anyone, they are. The official team account.
The official team account. Anyone who tweeted, like, come on, change your name to the Chubbs, they would block them.
Wow.
And I guess I got in late because the Broncos tweeted out a video about Bradley Chubb going back to Chubbtown.
Yeah.
Chubbtown. And I quote tweeted and I was like, oh, congratulations on being blocked by the at Grand Junction Rockies. And they didn't block me. I was kind of bummed.
He says, as far as the Sweet Cow collab goes, I 100% agree. You could take their staple sweet cream flavor and add the great flavor of Strawberry Sky. Yum. Question.
Sounds so good right now.
If Joe Flacco can produce back-to-back seasons that statistically mirror his Super Bowl season, would we actually consider re-signing him to a longer-term deal? Thanks. Super excited for training camp.
You'd be silly not to. Just because Drew Lock's there doesn't mean you have to use him. Now, if Drew Lock is on his heels, then yes, you probably pull that trigger and just say we're gonna roll with Drew Lock, because it's not like Brett Favre was done when they finally pulled the trigger to go to Aaron Rodgers. But if he plays, you know, Super Bowl MVP caliber Joe Flacco, and you guys are winning and going to the playoffs and making a run, like, you're silly to not try to keep it rolling.
It's gonna be on Drew. It's all gonna be on Drew, not Joe. If Drew is here in training camp and he is just crushing it, and in the season he's impressing it in the meeting rooms and on the field, and next year he comes out and lights it up again in training camp in the preseason and does all the right things, unless Joe wins a Super Bowl, multiple playoff games, then I don't think Joe's going to have a choice. I think they're going to give it to the kid, whether it's this year or next year, unless there's Super Bowl or just tons of playoff success.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I was thinking along the lines of, is like they're going into the playoffs and making noise every year.
Yeah, then it's
a good problem to have.
It'd be a great problem to have.
Next one's from Bronco Matt. Hey guys, this player holdout stuff is getting out of hand. I guess it's not a holdout. Even second round picks not playing a single snap in the NFL are holding out. In my opinion, the NFL needs to send a clear message to the players to put a stop to this. It's ruining the process. If only I could go to work and say, I'm staying home until you give me $5 more an hour. I mean, you actually can do that.
They could say you're fired.
Well, it depends on how valuable
exactly.
You are.
Exactly.
You might be surprised, Bronco Matt. You might get that $5 an hour that you're wanting.
Uh-oh. Bronco Matt may be either very happy or very upset on tomorrow's pod.
Well, I'll come back to this. He says, simply with Lock, this is a horrible look for me. If this is the kind of stuff he wants to pull, then he needs to be cut or traded. All right, relax. We need players who want to be here, not this holdout business. Hopefully by the time of this podcast comment, this is irrelevant and he's already signed. This is just an Angry Wednesday contribution. Keep up the great work. Okay. We got to calm down here. First of all, and I said this to multiple people on Twitter yesterday, don't be mad at Drew Lock. If you're mad at Drew Lock, you're misdirecting your anger, because he's not the one who's saying, like, go get me that money. It's the agent who's saying, like, hey, man, you're a quarterback. You deserve this premium. And they should have drafted you at 41 instead of 40, and, you know, blah, blah, because in the end, if Drew Lock gets paid more, his agent gets paid more. That's It's literally in the contract.
Yep.
So don't be mad at Drew. I'm trying to find out, but I guarantee you he was saying, like, hey, like, I'm not going to miss any time. Am I right? Like, what are you guys doing? So
that's probably how this got done, was Drew saying, okay, guys, I let you have your 48 hours, 36 hours of fame trying to get me this, and it didn't work out. Yeah, we got an extra $175,000. That's great. Thank you. You'll get 3% of that or whatever. And now I'm showing up. He's in the building or about to be in the building. He'll sign his deal today.
After he comes on the podcast.
Exactly. After he comes on the pod. And then he'll be in the afternoon meeting or the evening meeting with Vic. And Bronco Matt, I think it's a great Angry Wednesday contribution. And the NFL has tried to make this rookie nonsense stop. That's what the whole slotting system is for. And it blows my mind that there still is some wiggle room. I thought that's what this was for, was so that there's no wiggle room. Everyone agrees. Rookies who have never played a single snap in the NFL don't get to push teams around.
I agree on a lot of accounts, and I thought this whole thing was silly for a couple of different reasons. But I'm not going to be mad at these guys for trying to get the most money they can. I don't care if they've played. And to go back to Bronco Matt saying, I wish I could go into work and ask for $5 more. Like you can. And these guys can do that because they have a little bit of leverage. And so if you have a little bit of leverage at your job, you have a skill that someone else can't do. You know, you're the best salesman in the company or whatever. Like, you do have leverage and you can do that. There's no rules against that. And so these guys, the NFL takes advantage of them in a lot of ways. If they have a sliver of leverage that they can go and use, then they should use it, because the career of an NFL player is very finite, and any dollar that you might just pass up because you think it's, you know, irrelevant might be one that you can never get back.
Here's why you shouldn't feel too bad for Drew Locke. He's about to sign a 4-year, $7 million contract.
Oh, yeah, and I don't feel bad for him at all. But I'm just saying, if you have leverage, go ahead and try and use it.
Absolutely.
And that goes for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, just don't
just get, make sure you actually have leverage.
Yeah, just don't get fired by trying to do this and then come and blame us. Next one coming in from Dan Burke. He says, was doing some snooping on Twitter. Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals, said that since he wouldn't have dealt with the Broncos if they took Locke first and tried to trade up for Risner, because the Bengals were that interested in Risner. So the Broncos took Risner first and then traded with the Bengals to take a prospect the Bengals weren't interested in. Locke was their QB4 on the board, and they had him rated comparably to Ryan Finley, who they took in round 4.
Oh my God, that's a joke.
Yeah, seriously. Some pretty savvy decision-making by the 27th ranked front office in the NFL. Winky face.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's what we talked about yesterday, I think. Didn't we? Did we talk about that on the podcast yesterday?
What?
About how the Bengals wanted
Risner. Exactly.
And so they wouldn't have done the trade with the Broncos right. for 42.
So we had that same insight as Joe Goodberry.
Yeah. Joe Badberry. But it was a nice move by the Broncos. And the fact that the Bengals had Drew Locke rated next to Ryan Finley, we saw both of them on the same field together. They're long ways away from each other.
So Zach Taylor isn't necessarily changing the Bengals being the Bengals.
I guess. I'm flabbergasted that they would say they had him rated similarly, because yeah. I had them rated oppositely.
I agree. Next one coming in from Chenzy Chills. Says, hey guys.
Great
name. Regarding the Drew Locke saga, I forget where I read it, but apparently Locke's agent did the same thing, QB Premium, with a former client of his. Seems like this is just how he handles business. Yeah, and these big agencies are always going to feel like they have more power, have more leverage, and try to get these things for their clients. And on one hand, it's great. I mean, that's why you hire an agent, is so that you're not Russell Okunging yourself where you're putting up a bad contract.
You say that one more time.
Russell Okunging. To Okung yourself. But then, on the other hand, it does get to a point. When, if we're talking millions of dollars for Drew Locke, then yeah, he probably should hold out. and miss some days, because then, you know, one practice of camp, yeah, it hurts him this year, but getting millions of dollars helps him more. But when we're talking about this stuff, it is silly.
Drew Lock's agent should have just helped him get drafted in the first round. Then they would have made a lot more money. From 719 Sports or 719 Sports, what are we going with?
I like 719.
719 Sports. Hey, guys, the Breck beer locator was a clutch move, so thanks for sharing. Yeah, if you didn't hear that, that's probably how our guy Kyle Mahar found out that he can get it up in Maine. Go onto their website, use the beer locator, put in your zip code. They'll tell you where the closest place to you is and what beers they have. Anyways, he says, sadly, I'm so far away from Colorado due to school that the locator gave me an error message. I honestly think the locator was down one day, so try it again. because a couple different people said that to me.
You're bringing hope.
Yeah. How far could you possibly be away? he says, also, if BSN made a Grand Junction Chubb shirt, I would easily spend the money I don't have. There's already one out there. You can go get it. It's from Roto Sports.
Let's keep this local.
I'm just saying. We're not making it. So the time has come and gone for the for the Chubbs.
That's true.
I hope the Chubbs become a thing. Keep that petition going. Anyways, he says, love the show, and I'm looking forward to listening next week. Speaking of shows and listening in weeks, we just, as we're speaking here, released the first episode of the Denver Sports Podcast, which I named. So don't mess up the pronunciation. It's not the Denver Sports Podcast. It is the Denver Sports Podcast.
Now I know.
What we're going to do is every week get one of the beat writers, so me or Zach, alongside one beat writer from each of our teams, and just have Denver Sports discussions. And it's funny because someone tweeted at us and they were like, we'll see how long it takes before this becomes another Broncos podcast. And I'm just like, no, that's not the point. The point of this is to have representation from every team so we can, whatever is the topics that are hot with those teams, we can discuss them. Anyone who works for BSN follows all of it. So I can have a Rockies discussion, and I can also have like a bad Rockies take that Drew can tell me, like, that's a bad take.
Right.
But it's cool to get everyone together. I have questions for Drew and Harrison and AJ that I want answered, you know, from a fan perspective.
Right.
They have questions for me. Yesterday we debated who has the best young up-and-coming player of all the Denver sports teams. Let me just ask you, who do you think I chose?
Bradley Chubb.
Nope.
Oh, come on. After everything we just talked about Bradley Chubb.
It was more about, like, think of, like, prospect. More than...
Well, there would be none for football then. It would just be rookies.
He just walked into the building.
Drew Lock.
Yep. So it was like, my case for Drew Lock was if he pans out, he'll be the biggest superstar in Denver.
In a heartbeat. In an instant. No question about it.
And so that's kind of the fun thing is I have this little trump card I get to play, which is just like, more people care about the Broncos. So.
Yeah.
and it makes me which isn't actually a fun place to be because it makes me the villain.
Right.
But it's cool. Because those guys are going to be like, no way, Michael Porter Jr., no way, Cale Makar.
You can also pull the championship card.
I mean, I do have those. But it's funny because I have to think, like, you know, when we're on this podcast, like, we can make the jokes. Like, we never lose the podcast sales or anything like
right.
that. But I have to realize, like, this could be listened to by fans of all the other teams.
Right.
I got to be a little more careful because – anyone who knows me knows I love all those teams, but I don't want to come off as like
right.
Broncos chud.
Right.
So anyways, check out the Denver Sports Podcast. It's actually in your feed. For the first few podcasts, we're going to drop it into the Broncos feed, the Avs feed, the Nuggets feed. It's already, I mean, as we're sitting here, it's probably already the most downloaded podcast in the history of BSN just because we did that.
That is amazing.
Which is pretty cool. But check it out. I think you guys will enjoy it, especially if you're a multi-sport fan. If you're just a Broncos fan, it's probably not for you. But we wanted to make something for the fans who love all the teams. Okay, Zach. Before we go along here, I lost my place. I want to tell the listeners about Weinster. If Breck is the official beer of BSN, Anything Winestr does is the official wine of BSN. They're an innovative online direct-to-consumer wine club connecting wine drinkers with more than 110 of the best wineries in America today. And what makes them special is that the majority of the wineries they work with are too small to attract the attention of retailers, meaning not only are you getting access to some delicious and hard-to-find wines, you're also supporting real people making real wine, not just one of the few large corporations producing most of the wines available in stores. They're getting like the Phil Lindsay's and the Chris Harris Jr.'s of wines. People don't realize those guys are Pro Bowlers yet. But once they're in the glass,
they realize how good they are.
The magic happens. With Winestr, all you got to do is sit back and relax as they curate a hand-picked shipment from some of the best small wine producers in the U.S. And then when you fall in love with a couple of the wines, as a club member, they'll send them right back to your door with no shipping costs. Sign up today with the code BSN25 and get $25 off your first shipment of wine and start being a real grown-up, or just pretend to be a real grown-up who sips wine and like sticks their pinky out. Sometimes I put an ice cube in there. Don't tell Will. That's Winestr. WINESTYR. I like my drinks to be cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does, you know. Yep. My coffee's got to be cold. Yep. My water, I have a water bottle that's literally like engineered to stay cold all the time. I don't like that like wine cellar level temperature. I need it to be a little colder than that.
So you don't like red wine that's just been sitting on the shelf?
It's not that I don't like it, because I'm trying to be a grown up, but it's...
You just want to throw the popsicle in it to cool it down, give it some sweetness, be more of a kiddie drink.
No, I just want it to be cold. I'm probably thirsty. I'm like always thirsty. I'm just crushing water. And when I think of a drink, I just want it to be cold. That's all I'm saying. I used to not like, when I was a kid, it's kind of funny. I would rather have a warm drink when I was a kid than a drink that had ice cubes in it. For some reason, I was very against drinking things with ice cubes.
Wow, you afraid of them just like dangling in your drink?
I don't you have to like block them from falling out of the cup with your lips. When I was a kid, that's the way I felt. Now,
so what happened?
I don't know. I grew up.
Wow.
Started drinking wine, started being okay with the cubes. Because every morning I got like 30 ice cubes in my iced coffee to make sure it stays ice cold the whole time.
Oh, yeah. You're the ice cube man. I'll just call you Ice Cube.
Or what about just the Iceman?
The Iceman.
I know George Gervin had that, but...
Yeah, it's got a good ring.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's got a good ring.
If you guys want to call me that, it's cool with me.
Next one coming in from someone else with a nickname, Burrito Chad. Says, hey guys, in my opinion, the 18-game season demanding players to sit out 2 games is absolutely a terrible idea.
It is.
My reasoning is that this would massively skew the competition presented against the most superior teams. Think about it. Every team that has to play the Saints, for example, would want to rest their players when they played the Saints, meaning the Saints get to play the opponent's B team for the entire season. This would basically pave the way for the best teams to have no competition on their way to the playoffs, because everyone would rest their best players against them.
I actually don't agree with that. I think some teams would want to rest their players against bad teams.
Wouldn't it make sense, though, if you're like, okay, being realistic, we're probably going to lose this game.
Totally.
Let's sit these guys out.
Totally. Football coaches don't operate like that, though.
It's true.
There'd be a lot of egos who are like, we're not just laying down to the Chiefs.
It's true.
We're going to go beat their you-know-whats.
Chris Harris Jr. was asked about this today, and he said...
What I thought a lot of players would say.
and it was along the lines of, if there's 18 games, I'm playing 18 games.
And that is... The NFLPA is screaming like, no, shut up. That's not what you're supposed to say, but that's how the guys feel.
Yeah.
And that's the passion these guys... That's the passion you have to have for this game to make it to this level, is... It's not about protecting my body. It's about winning football games.
Right. And it would make it way more of a game in a bad way. We don't want that type of game where you have to decide who's playing, who's not. No.
It'd be kind of entertaining.
It would be. I mean, it'd be entertaining for us. On a Wednesday pod, we get to roll out who the Broncos are playing, who they're not.
Yeah,
who they should be playing, who they're not.
Yep. Broncos elect to start Drew Locke. Right? Drew Locke will be starting 2 games this year no matter what.
I'm in for it. Let's do
it. But also, Paxton Lynch would be starting 2 games for the Seahawks.
Oh, wow. He goes on and says, I want more games. but this is not how you do it. It's not a good idea. Also, welcome back, Zach. Missed you, buddy. Thanks. Happy to hear from you, Burrito Chad.
Do you want more games?
It's good where it is.
I don't see the need for more games.
You know, I don't like more games in the sense that just all the records are different.
Actually, you know what? For us, it doesn't matter because there would be just two less preseason games. And covering regular season games is so much better than covering preseason. We do the same amount of work on a preseason game than we do in a regular season game. And we're a little rusty, so it even takes us a little longer.
Yep. So that's what it would be, is two preseason games. Then,
I believe.
I'm okay with that. But let them play in all the games. In fact, I'm not okay with that. I would like that. Four preseason games is too much.
Yep. We've got five.
Oh, my gosh. Not in Vic's eyes, though. He loves it.
Oh, man. Okay. From Brent G17. Okay, let me try this again. Welcome back, Zach, because he tried to welcome you back on Monday.
Ah, thank you, Brent G17.
He says, you guys are making me want to try and do all these things you talk about on your show. Raven Golf Club, Strawberry Sky at Raven Golf Club, Greece, gotta try them. Constantly, I'll be taking some Breck brew. Consequently, I'll be taking some Breck brews camping this weekend to support the fam.
Sound like me?
That's fantastic. And yes, we should have got the Raven as an official sponsor here, but at least one of our official sponsors, Greece, is getting some. BSM Broncos podcast brought to you by Greece.
Tourism of Greece.
Great country.
Make sure to travel.
That's dope that you're bringing Breck brews camping. I'm telling you, you are going to love it. Vanilla Porter seems like a good camping beer.
Strawberry Sky does too.
Well, yeah, I mean the day. I'm thinking of like by the fire. Sipping it by the fire.
Yeah, Vanilla Porter.
They also have like an Irish Stout. Another good fireside beer.
They have so many good ones.
I haven't had one that isn't good.
And there's so many.
I know. There's like a mango mosaic. I haven't had that one yet. But
I have. That's good. It's really good. They're all good. That's another day one.
I think they did a passion fruit one.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure it was great.
So good. All right. Anyways, he said, I'm glad you appreciated the Henry David Thoreau comment. Wasn't sure that was going to land. It got me right in the right place. He says, keep an eye on the Boz and Winfrey for me at training camp. I feel like one of or both of those guys is going to ball out. If you had to pick one to have a bigger contribution this year, what's your pick? He must have read our
I think so.
Broncos roundtable because
so.
You picked the Boz for your training camp darling, and I picked Juwan Winfrey.
Yep.
So is that what we're sticking with?
Have to.
I love both players. I put the Boz in my most intriguing camp battle because I think he's going to win the third corner position.
And do you think, you have to switch then. You have to join my side. Do you think Juwan Winfrey is going to be the third wide receiver?
Here's the thing is the third corner is actually really the fourth corner.
Right, with Kareem.
It's kind of like how the fourth preseason game is really the third preseason.
Oh, stop it.
I think Juwan Winfrey is going to be healthy. I think he has all the skills. And I think by the end of camp, Joe Flacco is going to say, I kind of like that guy.
So he's going to see the field a decent amount.
Yeah, I think he'll be out there.
He says, so stoked for the training camp content. Keep it up and stay cool, boys.
We will do one of those two things.
Next one coming in from Mile High Kansan. He says, my guys, good to hear Zach back on the airwaves. Thank you, Mile High Kansan. Henry was great and was good hearing from him. Can you guys elaborate on how NFL teams decide their training camp start dates? I understand the Broncos' early start, but I saw only three other teams, Ryan's Cardinals, the Ravens, and the Seahawks, all started early.
All bird teams. Whoa. That's why they got the,
they have to fly south
later, and so they get...
Wow. Why wouldn't other teams take advantage of starting early? Thanks, and keep killing it on the coverage. You guys make my hour commute super entertaining. Well, if you got caught in traffic, then you lucked out on today's pod, since this is well over an hour.
Yeah. Well, speaking of whales, this podcast is a whale. So the way it is you can technically start, I think, essentially whenever you want after, like, July 15th or something. But you can only have so many practices. So I'm assuming those teams just have more breaks. And you don't get the extra week of training camp for new coaches, or do you?
You don't. No, I thought the way it worked was that you can start training camp 2 weeks before your first preseason game. And so I think what's happening here, because I saw some tweets, but it wasn't Broncos related, so I didn't look into it.
They have like a Thursday night?
I think it's that the rookies are reporting, because I think rookies can report like up to 10 days before training camp starts. And so next week would be when every other team can report. So the rookies could report today. I think that's what it is. I think
you're right on the 2 weeks thing. That sounds better than what I was saying.
Yeah.
I thought, though, you had a little bit of wiggle room there, and then you can have more off days during training camp.
Maybe.
But the players, most players prefer to just have a longer summer break.
Did you hear Vic throw in we may have a few extra off days during camp?
No, I didn't hear that. What did you say?
When talking about the quote-unquote longer training camp, as Vic made it very clear, it's not that much longer. It's only 5 practices, everyone.
Isn't 5 practices a lot to a death by inches guy?
Geez, certainly seems like a lot. But he said, you know, if I realize that at the end of camp that these guys need some more rest because they're tired because of the extra 5 practices, then, you know, I'm absolutely open for throwing in an extra rest day or two.
I'm just going to shoot him a text and say, can you at least give me some warning so I can get a tee time? Although I better fix this thing on my hand. Definitely. I think my theory is it might have something to do with all the golf I did last weekend.
Wow. So it's a good thing.
Well, no, it hurts. But it came from a good place.
Right.
Because on Thursday, no, on Friday, I went and hit 100 balls at the driving range. Had to get my driver swing worked out. On Saturday, played. On Sunday, I played.
Woo.
So across those 3 days, I swung the golf club, you know, 340 times.
Wow.
And maybe, because it's kind of right where the golf club slots into my hand here. It's not a blister.
It's weird to wait 72 hours to pop up.
I know, but the thing I read said it could be like a joint, like your joint gets irritated.
Wow.
And then, I don't know. Hopefully, I don't have to have my hand amputated.
You have golfer's hand.
Golfer's hand. That might be a thing. It's like tennis elbow.
Golfer's lump hand.
Golfer's hand lump. From Nick Cox. Thanks, my guys, for doing this podcast every day. Ryan, you nailed it when you said that we rely on you to be a part of our daily routine. I lose 10 to you guys every morning on my way to work. What does that mean?
I was hoping you knew.
Okay. Oh, how about this? I listen. I think there is a typo there. I listen to you guys every morning.
There we go. There it is.
On my way to work. I would pay the subscription price for the podcast alone, let alone all the great written
content.
That's
what we're talking about, Nick Cox. We love you.
And if you're listening to Nick Cox and thinking, wow, I want to be more like him, use the promo code BroncosCamp. $34.99 and a free t-shirt for everything that we do.
And you know what? If you're listening to Nick Cox, you should be more like him.
Yeah, you should. He says it's good to have Zach back, but I hope Ryan is reading this podcast on air as Zach, based off of last podcast, forgot how to read while feeding his meat to cats in Greece. That was one of my favorite moments on the podcast ever. That was pretty great. It's good to see that Sanders.
Don't be thinking about my meat right now.
I'll never forget that. If we ever make a new podcast intro, that's going in. It's good to see that Sanders will not be starting on PUP. Looking forward to all of your amazing content during training camp. Thanks, guys.
Well, should we roll it out on this last one?
Yes. He says, I cannot believe Zach literally said, the cats love my meat. That's it. That's the whole comment. Oh my God, what a fantastic moment. I forgot to tweet about that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's got to go out.
That's there. Actually, I don't know if I'm retweeting that one on my own account. Out of context.
I can't wait for you to have to answer to your girlfriend about why you said that later tonight. Wow, I have a headache from laughing so much. All right.
We're a little, what's it called when you like get so out of it, you just laugh?
I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, I just can't think of the word.
Like something about giggle.
Something that. Yeah, giggle laugh.
I don't know, but it's probably time to stop the podcast before we say anything like cats love my meat. All right. So with that, when we talk to you tomorrow morning, it will be just minutes before the Broncos start camp. And you know what that means, Zach?
What?
music blaring in our ears.
The rush before the clock.
Nothing quite like it. Nothing quite like not knowing when the buzzer's going to go off.
Yep.
Imagine playing a game, yeah. a sport, and you're trying to win before the clock goes out, but you don't know what the clock says.
But you have to do it.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on the BSN Broncos podcast. Subscribe using the code BRONCOSCAMP and get that sick deal. We'll talk to you later. It's getting me down, waiting up for you.
Tax debt is impeding the growth of millions of small businesses in the U.S. That's why Symbio Tax and Administration's goal is to enable small businesses and individuals to make informed and calculated decisions when it comes to their taxes. Symbio Tax provides small business owners with expert services in resolving tax liabilities and providing financial clarity.
I would recommend George to anybody who has to deal with the IRS. His strengths and depth of knowledge make him really valuable. You know, over the course of years as a real estate broker, I've had the opportunity to talk with many different tax people. But the one thing I have found with George is he was very easy to work with. He was very articulate.
Symbio Tax is experienced in preparing returns for all income levels, as well as securing penalty abatements and settlements for qualified individuals that sometimes save the taxpayer thousands.
George was able to save us about $7,000, and of course, you know, being an independent real estate broker, $7,000 is a substantial amount of money, and it was really nice to get that dealt with.
They offer free consultations, so be sure to check out symbiotax.com for more information. That's SYMBIO. TAX.com.